Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Akash, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Zen Laboratories Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note, this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Ms. Deepika Sharma from Go India Advisors.
Thank you, Akash. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call of Zen Laboratories Limited. We have on the call Dr. Amrit Bhalla, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Zulfikar Kamal, Director of Finance, Mr. Shyam Mohan Petro, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jayant Dhal, Investor Relations. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. May I now request the management to take us through the financials and business outlook, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Deepika. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Amrit Bhalla speaking. A warm welcome to all participants joining us for Zen Laboratories Limited earnings conference call for the third quarter and nine months ended December 31, 2025. I hope you have had the opportunity to review our results and the accompanying presentation available on the exchanges. Let me begin with an update on our EU GMP remediation and CAPA implementation plan, which continues to remain our highest strategic priority. We have submitted the majority of CAPA responses and addressed most regulatory queries. Based on our ongoing engagement with the authority, we understand that the audit is expected to be conducted during the first half of the upcoming financial year, tentatively in the next quarter. In preparation, we are proactively undertaking all necessary steps to ensure full compliance with regulatory requirements and remain committed to maintaining the highest quality and compliance standards. We recognize that EU GMP certification is critical to unlocking value across regulated markets. In parallel, we continue to undertake proactive measures to maintain business continuity through alternate certifications and site transfer initiatives of select key products, ensuring minimum disruption to customer commitments and strengthening our regulatory footprint. To performance highlights, the pharma segment continued to demonstrate steady traction during the quarter, supported by improvement in our base business. Nutraceutical segment also witnessed better contribution during the quarter, supported by recovery in the legacy Nutra PFI business. While 9-month performance remained largely stable on the revenue front, quarterly performance reflected improvement across key operating metrics, including operating income, EBITDA, and overall profitability, driven by better business mix and improved operational efficiencies. During the period, we also completed a preferential issue, raising approximately 35 crore. The proceeds will be utilized towards expansion of our dedicated concentrating block, conversion of the nutraceutical facility into formulation-focused facility, and strengthening regulatory and CAPA-related compliance initiatives. These investments are expected to enhance our long-term growth capabilities and expand our presence in value-added segments. Further strengthening our organizational capabilities, we also made key senior leadership additions during the quarter. Mr. Vikrant Bendre joined as President, International Business, bringing over 26 years of experience across global pharmaceutical markets. Additionally, Mr. Sridhar Reddy, Vice President, Quality Assurance, and Mr. Jitendra Pandey, Vice President, Human Resources, were designated as senior management personnel, further strengthening leadership across people, compliance, and quality functions. Looking ahead, the upcoming quarter will remain important for us, subject to stability in the geopolitical and macroeconomic environment. We remain optimistic about closing the financial year on a strong note. To summarize, we remain focused on completing EU GMP remediation, strengthening business continuity measures, and investing in long-term growth platforms. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Shyam Patro, who will walk you through the financial highlights for Q3 and 9-month financial year 26. Over to you, Shyam.
Thank you, Dr. Bhalla. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me provide a summary of our financial performance for the quarter ended December the company reported a total operating income of approximately 1,087 million rupees, reflecting improvement in both a sequential and year-to-year basis, supported by strong traction across our core pharmaceutical business and recovery in the selected necessities orders. EBITDA for the quarter stood at approximately 145 million rupees, translating into a margin of around 13.4% compared to 13.8% in the previous quarter, supported by improved product mix and operating leverages. Profit after tax stood at 44 million rupees, reflecting improvement compared to the previous quarter. For the nine-month period, the total operating income stood at approximately 2,691 million, broadly in line with corresponding period last year, with profitability remaining impacted due to the higher operating expenses and continued investment towards regulatory and compliance initiatives. On the sequential basis, we continue to grow with a steady momentum. Margins in Q3 FY26 improved compared to previous two quarters. Export business increased significantly in Q3 FY26 to 961 million, an increase of 23.2% year-on-year, contributing 88% to the total operating income. Revenue contributed from NIP and OTS stood at ₹132 million, representing 12.2% of operating income. On R&D front, ₹74 million allocated for BE studies and drug registration, advancing the innovative product NIP and OTS pipeline. To summarize, the company delivered steady sequential improvement in operational performance in the quarter and remains focused on strengthening the core business, improving margins, and supporting long-term strategic initiatives. With this, we now like to open the floor for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. In the interest of time, we would request the participants not to repeat the same questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Mr. Madhur Rathi from Countercyclic Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I was looking at our previous annual reports and so I'm trying to understand, sir, what is the issue with this NIP and OTS product? Because even in during 2013 to 2015 period, we were very optimistic on these products, but they haven't been able to scale up. And I think we were at a conference in 2017 or 2018, we were speaking about this for the European markets, but even that hasn't been able to scale up. Sir, so is the problem in product selection strategy or the product offtake strategy for these differentiated products, that's why it's taking so long, and how do we plan to scale it up going forward?
As I've already said in my opening remarks, NIP products are Europe centric. And in last July we were inspected and we have received a non-compliance in GMP. So that's why the products, the traction that we were supposed to receive with a few of our products which had completed the final run on the way to receiving MA could not be put inside the market in spite of our having signed very solid contracts with points towards an inflection point in the company's NIP business. So we are waiting for this non-compliance to be completed. We have strong support from the partners with whom we have signed agreements and out-licensed these NIP products. And as I said earlier, and we are just waiting for the remediation related inspection. If everything is going well, we will be well on the way to actually be able to demonstrate the promise that the NIP has shown to us through these agreements.
But sir, this issue is very near term, right? So this issue was only persistent for the last 6 months. But prior to that, in 2018, we had done a conference at CPHI, something like that, in Europe, and we were speaking about NIP and these OTS products. Sir, so if I were to consider any generic molecule in which we are providing this differentiated delivery product, sir, on a conservative basis, sir, how much of the market can actually shift to these kind of products, which are either the NIP or the OTS kind of products?
Yeah, so,
Madhu,
this is there. 2018 was the period when we started developing these products. And as you know, in pharma, there is a development timeline about 3 to 5 years. So, we completed development of these products around 2023. Now, these are not molecules which don't have a market already. These are already well-established molecules which have billion-dollar plus markets. So, we don't fear that this will not take up the market. There has been momentum in this, which you can see in the innovative product basket and the revenue coming from the innovative product mix, which we have shown in the presentation. So, these are already picking up in the ROW and commercial markets. The only question is about the EU markets where this has to be commercialized, and as Dr. Daud explained, this will happen once we complete our remediation. So, I think on the timeline, 2018 is when we started development. Is not when we were planning to commercialize. Our commercialization timeline was set for 2026, which has been moved up by a year or so just because of the UGMP remediation process that we are in.
Right. Sir, so where should I look at our business from FY27 perspective in terms of top line and bottom line? Where do we see our business growing?
To start with, what we have in our hands is our regulated and emerging market business. We'll continue to see the traction there, because one by one, most of these NIP products are also getting registered in our market where we already have a presence. As you must have noticed during my remarks, we have in place now a fantastic team of business development region-wise, and very dynamic leader of the team has joined the company recently. We hope even in the ROW and emerging markets, you will see, we don't know, I can't give you the numbers yet, but I can, I'm sure that there will be strong traction in the NIP products. We are all excited about their, you know, getting registered one by one in the markets that we have. And this year, you will see demonstration of that in the ROW and emerging markets in terms of the business that we can get for these NIP products. And of course, a critical milestone is getting the remediation for our EU you know, accreditation through, which is expected tentatively by June or July. That. And after that, we already have the agreements in place. So, we are positive. We have, as you must have, we have made various announcements like, you know, some of our products getting approved in by TGA in Australia, a few products getting approved in UK, NHRA. A few approvals, our filing has been consistently progressing, and a few announcements have been made about the approvability of some of our products during these 9 months. So, the EU certification or UK NHRA inspection and certification, these kind of inspections will be the trigger for the business starting moving forward, and that's when we can give you better numbers.
Right. So, would it be fair to assume that post this EU inspection clearance, we can scale our NIP plus OTS product revenue to 20 crore plus on a quarterly basis?
Okay, Madhur,
just
giving a number right now will be
too premature.
We'll keep you updated as the quarter progress.
Right. Sir, that was from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you,
Madhur. Thank you so much, sir. The next question comes from the line of Ashwarya Chatterjee from Ageless Capital Finance. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to know a bit about when is the audit for this UGMP schedule. What are our plans for site transfers? And like, what is the outlook from the like Q1 FY27?
Q1
FY27. Yeah.
Okay. So, starting with the last question, I'm going to straight into the CAPA part. I think most of the points raised by the auditors were addressed through a CAPA submitted by the company, which were accepted by the authorities. And then we have been working very steadily and aggressively toward addressing all the CAPA related developments that we need to actually provide the authorities. And several action taken reports have been submitted to the authorities, and by this time, excepting for one or two points related in the CAPA, most of the points have been considered as resolved by the authorities in their responses to the action taken reports. They have also indicated to our partners who are related to this audit that they would intend, they were intending to come in the first or second financial year, and not the financial year, the first or second quarter of the year. The first quarter is almost through. I think they take about 1 to 1.5 months, you know, they set a date, and that's about a month to a month and a half before they actually come in. So we believe April, May, or June would be the next quarter. Would be we would have a specific date where we would be told when the authorities will visit to actually inspect. So the CAPA has gone on, and we are very positive about the way the QA team or the operations team has handled this issue, respecting the observations and taking proactive action to show an improvement in the entire quality culture in the company. So that's where we are with the CAPA. And of course, we have also been triggering different inspections because we cannot just wait for one milestone. We have been filing for the sixth inspection in a couple of countries. And related to the alternate facilities, we have transferred one product and in the process of transferring two more products to alternate sites, thereby de-risking the entire NIP business timeline, regardless of this inspection. So that's been going on. Now, regarding your quarter code number, I think I'll hand it over to Mr. Patro, and based on what we have at this moment, maybe in a better position to give you the number if they are available with us.
So quarter four will be, sir, in a similar line. So since it is in the middle of the quarter, I will not disclose most of the numbers as such, but it will be in a similar line.
Hope that clarifies.
Got it. And regarding the alternate sites that you mentioned that you are transferring the product, where are these sites located? And
more than that, we are not liberty to disclose because we need their information as well.
And this will have an impact on our margins, right? Given that we are taking the other sites, if you could quantify the impact.
We have a nominal impact. It will have a nominal impact. Something there. It would drastically affect something because, you know, we would also be having similar expenses when we manufacture. Right?
Okay. So, if I understand correctly.
For them, it's a contract manufacturing business. The net impact would be actually the cost it takes us to manufacture for our print versus the cost it takes them to contract manufacture for us, which is a very small fractional addition to the entire cost. The margin remains with us, essentially.
Okay, so then with all your like 4 or 5 products that are supposed to be launched, when do we see the impact of launch, given that you clear the EU GMP audit? Will it be the second half of the year when we see a sharp uptake? If you could just give a timeline to that.
In the second half of the year or more, clarity will be in the last quarter. We are being conservative here. Last quarter is when we would see.
Got it. And so how much of spending are required for this CAPA remediation and everything, like the recent fundraise that you did, how much of that is utilized for all this regulatory process?
How much of that?
How much funding do you need for doing this CAPA and everything? Like, how much of the fundraise that you did, what amount have you utilized for this all this regulatory process?
I think my co-promoter will explain this to you better, because this is a plan. I just said that we are planning to have a potential issue. At this moment, I would say that we are comfortable with the funding that we have planned earlier in the last year for the CAPA, and we are comfortable with the budget that we have. We are well within the budget, but we are planning to have a surplus with us, a buffer with us, so that after if some comments could come up during the remediation inspection, we should be ready to be able to bring any other compliance that is required and put it in place very fast. But this is just a budget, so that and a plan to keep some reserve aside for remediation, just in case something comes up. With what we have and what we have done and the time that we have taken, we are very near the end game. And we are waiting for the authorities to just announce the dates.
Any amount that you would want to quantify for this CAPA remediation whole thing that is going to happen?
Yeah, so out of the funding what we are taking, around 35 crores, around 10% we have allocated for the CAPA.
Got it. And so could you please disclose the inventory days and receivable days for this 3Q, third quarter, or 9 months?
I think they are on the same line. Inventory, we should be around. Inventory is around 94 days, and receivables is around 105 days.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you, ma'am. Dear participants, we kindly request you to restrict with one or two questions in the initial round and get back to the queue for the more questions. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Gautam Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for letting me speak. Mr. Daud, I want to ask about this preferential issue. Like, why do we have to do this preferential issue at this price? That would to Florent region. Hello?
Well, we've just given you that's already there in the public domain, the reason for that. We have a small capex remaining. And we think that in the interest of the company and its investors, it's not prudent to borrow this kind of money at this moment. We are well funded for the business that we are doing, but we need to complete and tie a certain end, which would result in better cost control, better margin for the company, better regulatory compliance as well. So all those initiatives which were on the line at some point, which were to be funded if had we had not had this non-compliance after the inspection, and if those funds had been available, we would have use our internal accruals for doing these things that are necessary and need to be done. So, now we are leaving the fund from the loan investor, we make the investor, and in the interest of all investors that as well, that the company completes its CapEx program, initial CapEx program, so that it is well prepared for the next wave where the NIP business takes strong traction. And for the future, in the future, we do not come across very easily. We can change the culture and the infrastructure in place to be able to support the kind of business that we are looking for.
Sir, just as we are at the bottom of the cycle, that we are having a deleverage right now, and we can see that the end to this tunnel is just 3 to 4 quarters away, then why do we have to do this at this price? That to the director or the person who was already an investee in the company prior to this, that was such a big chunk, around 9 to 10% of the company. That is my main concern regarding this.
Well, it helps the investor, doesn't it? Instead of company getting over leverage and taking on more debt, this is a better way to go to investors who are known to the company and who know the company and believe in the company's trajectory, support the management in achieving its target in spite of the small hiccup that has happened here. The company has actually lived for a very long time. This is a hiccup for a year, and if the existing investors benefit at this moment from whatever feedback we have had, we are happy for them. They have taken it at a price which is reasonable and which is in line with all the regulations. This was an offer open to everybody. Really.
Okay, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Yeah, this offer does not damage any other shareholders' prospects. And all minority shareholders have been ready to do it.
The rights issue can also be done if that's the case.
Sorry?
Rights issue can also be done if that's the case.
I think at the same card, right?
Yeah, have you considered doing the rights issue instead of preferential issue?
The promoters has to be then contribute, and as of now we have not thought of that on that angle. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Darshil Pandya from Pinterest Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hi, am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Just to take over from the previous participant, and then I have some questions for the main business. Sir, the participant, the issue that, you know, we see as an analyst is that, you know, such a big investor coming again in the company, and then, you know, there might be some selling in the company again in near future, we do not know. And such issues are being highlighted in the past also. So that was a concern of, you know, giving one big chunk to an investor rather than, you know, us distributing to some other people as well. So that, you know, there is not a pressure on the company in near future whenever, you know, there is some good or some bad news. So that was something that, you know, we wanted to highlight as well. But I hope that, you know, since management has a relationship with the investors.
We have something like this. I think we have gone to an investor who is very comfortable with the way the company is managing its affairs. And as of today, if you see, as of today, the investor holds up in totality about 19%.
Okay.
Earlier, he had started with 23%.
Hmm.
Isn't that right?
Correct.
So earlier, the questions are coming from the people that why Matthew was selling and why they were reducing their equity. So as a matter of confidence, they said, okay, then whenever you need some, they added. So as a strategic investor, what Dr. Daud mentioned, that to just show the confidence that we are going on the right track. he added to the, he offered for the.
So, with the preferential entry, it becomes 20, it goes through, it will become 22%, a few, it will become 18%. He has actually started with 22, and there was a period when it was diluted to about 11%, this was one time. Now, he always reports confidence in the way the management is running this company. So he,
correct.
And the company needed some, he came back. So that is vote of confidence in that. So the company is getting, want to borrow and show that on the balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And it needs to complete this escapa regardless of whether it has the business, whenever the business starts, because the regulatory cannot wait for the business to start. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the company has looked at it in a very logical way and in the interest of all the shareholders.
Correct. No, absolutely, sir. We understand that, investors' trust is kept on with the management. It's just that, it was suggestion, nothing else. And I hope that, this turns out to be in a good way for investors. Yeah. Thank you for the detailed answer. Sir, second question is on the pharma segment, which continues to be our growth driver. What is the expected growth that we see for next 1-2 years and in that only, in the nutraceutical
business? Understood. Yeah. What we are doing is we are withholding our remarks on the numbers at this moment and growth numbers specifically, because the figure would be any regulatory market accreditation that the company has now going forward. Where, us informing our shareholders on where we will end up with the number would be a much more logical and realistic way of describing the future scope of the company. As of this moment, we are in reality, so we are saying that ROW and emerging markets will continue to grow and reward us because we are taking all the measures on a conservative basis where we have strengthened our emerging markets team. I already spoke about the kind of people who have joined in a position to, even without the regulatory market entry to cover NIP products. I believe the company will start doing well with the NIP products in the emerging market and the kind of other products and the kind of other offerings that we have for the existing market and existing clients. So it will continue to grow. Especially the oral supplement NIP business as a percentage of the entire business. So as we have shown quarter to quarter, correction in those offerings regardless of not being in Europe. So that will continue. That momentum will continue. Because more registrations, more dossiers have been filed and registrations are coming in one by one in these markets as well. And now with a very well strengthened business development team, we are expecting better results in a quarter or two. The investors will be able to see that.
Understood. No, we'll wait for your update on this.
Sir, just for interrupting you, request you to join the queue for more queries, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. So the next question comes from the line of Mr. D.P. Sancheti from Mandya Finance. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
D.P. Sancheti, sir, please go ahead with the question, sir. There is no response from DP, sir. So I'm taking the next question from Amit Bajpai, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Amit, sir, please go ahead with the question, sir. Mr. Amit Bajpai, please go ahead with the question, sir. I don't find any response from Amit, sir, too. So taking the next question from Mr. Arohit Balakrishnan from iPod PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Hello. Yeah, sir, I just wanted to first understand your base business, sir. This was a good quarter. So how do you see this quarter Q4 in terms of the base business?
Thank you, sir. Base business Q4. How do we give a quarter in terms of
the base? Yeah, it will be on the line of the quarter. It is already informed to you. Okay, we are We are going ahead with the base business as we have already said, conventional growth, 10% or things like that. The NIT business inside this base business is showing in increasing traction. NIT and Indian business has been growing. And you will see this in the fourth quarter of this.
Okay. So there are no geopolitical headwinds. I mean, basically, last quarters, we were going through some challenges.
Those challenges are easing out, but not gone altogether. As of this moment, we can give all we can say is that it will be similar to the last quarter, depending upon no more people than the geopolitical.
Right, because historically Q4 is our heavy quarter, usually a very good quarter. So you don't see any change in that is what I should
As of this moment, sure. Yeah.
Fair enough. And sir, the procedure funding, you mentioned you are making one block for a product. So from what I can mean is that we have not yet received the MA for that. So what is it that so when can we expect that? And because we're going to put more money, so what gives you that comfort? And how are you thinking about the timeline towards getting the MA, etc.?
See, we already have this one product, one block. It's a separate block because the product requires a separate block to be there. We believe once we start, we will be able to have an accreditation by in the next March. And this could become the second site for manufacturing this product, because there is one product we feel has the potential to actually give a great traction to the company's chances. It has already in shortage in Europe, all the regulated markets. So once we start manufacturing this product, this is also a de-risking measure, because the existing facility as well as this block, when it is converted into a separate site, would give us actually two places where we de-risk ourselves and continue to manufacture this product, because the volumes are very high according to the agreement that we have signed. So it's a very strategic product for us, and that by March 27 we would have this block converted into a site. It's not that we will not be able to manufacture now in the existing facility, but converting it into a separate facility, a separate site with its own accreditation makes sense for the company. And this depends on one site for such a key product.
Got it. So you're saying March 26th or March 27th?
We will start converting the existing block into a site. There is already a block in our premises. It will become another site. So we will continue to use this block, but we will convert it into a site by March 27. So it doesn't actually affect the manufacturing capacity that we have. It ultimately de-risks the company's operations in terms of a very key product that the company has, where it believes that it can achieve some kind of a dominant position in several markets. So we will have two sites for this going forward, and that helps the company. It makes the company and its customers comfortable.
So, and in terms of the approval for this, can I just finish this question? Then I'll join back. This is just a follow up to that.
We have to give a chance to all the other participants in the interest of time. I would request you to join back to the queue. Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Deepesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead, sir. Deepesh, sir, please go ahead with the question, sir. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes. Yeah.
The question was regarding the fundraise only. Do you think that was the price at which we did the fundraise was the fair value of the company? And
hello?
What benefit does the strategic investor get?
Hello?
Hello?
I didn't get your question.
I'm saying that the price at which we bought, we got the strategic investor. Do you think that was a fair price?
It's just the strategic guideline, isn't it? It is in full compliance of the SEBI guidelines. It's a fair price because these are the guidelines for bringing in a preferential issue. My thinking whether it's a fair price or not a fair price doesn't matter here.
Thank you.
One thing you will agree with me is that if for the internal approval which the company was looking forward to be able to complete its different CapEx initiatives to prepare the company for the future growth and traction that we believe once we enter the regulated market we will have, we shouldn't wait for the business to restart to be able to do those things, because that is actually put us behind, and in the future that could lead to more technical and logistics issues we wanted to avoid. And that's in the interest of the company's overall strategy to enter the European market with key products. The customers also, the agreements that have been signed are of substantial nature. They are very important for the company's growth and sustainable growth in the European market. And they are the best way, for the investors as well as the customers, the best way for this company to go forward is to actually manufacture these products in a compliant, in a GMP compliant atmosphere, so that that confidence to the customers is always there that whatever happened was an accident, and move on from there. Also, capacity is being increased through these CapEx initiatives because, as I said, that we have an excellent ROW and emerging market team now, led by a very capable leader who has 26 years of experience. So, it's a capacity planning, execution planning, planning for improving and actually demonstrating that the high R&D costs that this company incurred actually result in growth with the investors expect for that.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Deepesh has left the queue. The participants, in the interest of time, we request you to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and get back to the queue for more questions. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Ashok Shah from Equilibria Investco. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for allowing me. Sir, a question is regarding the preference allotment. Sir, the said investor had not any trust in the capability of the management and also promoters, and was holding a large number of quantity of shares, and he sold out. And again, we are giving shares to the same investor. Why management has got trust in this investor, where that same investor doesn't have a trust in the capability of the management and the promoters? And also, sir, this allotment is done at the last 3 years' lowest price, not at the highest price. Sir, my suggestion, I am unable to understand many replies given during the call. So it is not justifying the allotment. So I suggest that it should be cancelled immediately if not allotted till death.
You could ask a question which I mean, the other investors before you have already asked, so why did you sell it at this time? I'm saying that I don't have any control over it. It was a SEBI guideline. You are saying you must choose this investor, but every investor has a right to buy a company shares. In fact, the idea should be that we must appreciate that this investor
came in the moment the company needed money, and it is the interest of other shareholders that there is no debt on the balance sheet beyond what we have already borrowed. So how it has been done, certainly in spite of selling or whatever there was when the company needed some, we have come forward. And so it was this confidence of the direction the company is taking. So any investor, including the investors present in this call, cannot be blamed for selling or buying the share when the investor is showing his confidence in how the company is moving forward. He's putting his money on the line. So if the all other investors tell that this is a bad buy, we wouldn't be having this right.
Like, sir, if I understand from your reply that company was unable to raise the fund via debt way because equity is always a costly affair, since our accounts are not proper there or something like that, so we are unable to raise the funds by debt way, so we raised the equity at such a lowest price.
No, I think this is definitely. See, the important part is that we needed the swiftness. The speed was important. We needed this fast because we need to complete this project and the customers are looking for supply quickly. So that is why we went to an investor who is trusted, who has confidence in the management so that this process could be done very swiftly. So speed was of utmost importance here. And price-wise, like I have already said, and Dr. Dowd mentioned, it is a semi-mandated price on the base of last 90 days period volume. So that is not much we can do there. This is the reason we have gone to this investor and done this raise, because we did not want debt and we wanted this money to come in fast.
Yeah, so what I was wanting to add was that it's not that the company was unable to raise debt. The fact is the company did not want to raise any more debt.
Sir, does that mean as per your answer, the company was unable to, or any of the bankers in India was unable to give fastest money to company?
I'm saying that the company did not want to give any more debt in the interest of the balance sheet and the other shareholders and what they look at and the kind of question all investors, including the promoters, have in mind. The balance sheet should be stable and able to service all its debt comfortably. Right? So this is what the company is set in the interest of being a conservative and prudent financial management.
Sir, have you already alerted the case or are you going to cancel it?
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir, request you to come back and join the queue for more questions.
Sure.
The next question comes from the line of Maitri Shah from Safia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, my audible?
Yes, you are.
Hello. Yeah, just one question. You mentioned that our NIG products are doing well in the regulated, in the emerging markets, and so could you give me like a quantification of what the sales are from emerging markets and what the sales are from regulated markets for the current quarter?
Already been provided. I can get to you again.
Yeah, I think the regulated markets is not there right now. The entire business is coming from ROW and emerging markets. So the entire sale that you see of the innovative products is from ROW and emerging market. There is no regulated market sale in there right now.
Okay. And once this remediation is done, we can expect sales coming from the regulated market. So any sort of target you have of what percentage of NIT OTS products would they contribute to the total overall revenue?
I think, like we said, we don't want to quantify it right now. Once GMP comes back, that will be a better time to quantify this, you will have better visibility. So in coming quarters, we will be able to give you that number.
Okay, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Pujit Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. So I just had two questions. The first question was, am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah. So the first question was in terms of key hires, like I think that is a very solid move and I congratulate you on that. I just wanted to understand, like, I mean, how much value can we extrapolate from ROW and emerging markets? Which are the key ROW and emerging markets that you're currently targeting, since we genuinely have a very broad bandwidth of products? I just want to understand.
We are targeting several key markets in the Middle East and CIS at this moment. We believe the kind of product that we have a very good opportunity there. And we are looking at about 20% growth in the ROW market.
Got it. So these are ex-Bangladesh, right? Because Bangladesh, we are very heavy as a company. So these are ex-Bangladesh, we are focusing on...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's in totality, but Bangladesh is stable. But 20% growth will substantially come from new market.
Got it.
And we are talking about the formulation business here, not the PFI business. It is Bangladesh.
Yes, definitely. And the second question was regarding like how is the buyer confidence or the people who we partnered with in Europe? Like, I mean, like I just wanted a sentimental check. Like, I mean, how exactly is the buyer confidence?
Yeah, they have been very supportive, and we have been in constant touch with them, and you know. We are quite a transparent company in terms of what goes on inside the company, and we believe in sharing with you guys also every quarter. So we have been keeping them abreast about all the action happening here, including the action taken and the report that has been filed with the authorities. Every time the authorities come back with some formal note about what has been accepted and especially the base. At which they are looking at, you know, visiting for a remediation inspection, for a repeat inspection. All those things are being shared with them. We keep meeting them. At this moment, I would say substantially we enjoy their support. And they are looking forward to launching these products in their own markets. Also, they are, you know, also engaging with the authorities at some level to expedite inspections in their own territories. So,
That is very good to hear, Dr. Andreas. Thank you so much, Rita.
Thank you, sir.
The next, we have a follow-up question from Sir Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the chance again, sir. So just two questions. One was this. So on this, on the previous question that I was asking. So while you said that you'll be able to make it as a separate facility by March of 2027, but you can still manufacture from your existing plant. So I just wanted to understand by when do you sort of see this contributing? Because I feel that you've not yet got the MA from for this. So that was my question actually. By when do you see this?
We are about to receive the MA. We have completed the required number of days. The moment EU positively is in our hand, I think within a couple of months we will have the MA also in our hand. And in some products and some territories like UK. We have already got the MA and audited of being cleared so that once we are inspected and once the EU GMP comes in, we can start supplying.
We got the MA from UK, you said, sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. We have one MA from UK already there with us, one MA from Australia for one of the NIT products already there. We have a few ready to approve products. I think about 5 products are already under approval. That means the moment we have our inspection completed, we will get there. Because the filing has continued, the submissions have continued.
Right. No, actually, I was just asking about the specific product was my question. So I know that we got the
sale
from Austria. My question was specific to this product that we have, which for which we are trying to create a.
We are on the last final of finishing our MA in UK. And even in Europe, the last answer has been given. We are just now waiting for the inspection to be over before we approve them again from the MA.
And there is any certification
that is needed from our side.
So essentially, you are expecting some things to happen in financial year 27, post the receival of MA and audit, right?
Yes.
For this product?
Yes.
Okay. Second question on this was, sir, so you mentioned that you have given all your, almost everything from a Kappa point of view, something that's still left, but more or less it's done and you're expecting an audit sometime in the next 3-4 months. So, and also you mentioned that you have initiated one product transfer and also initiating product transfer for a few more products in terms of site transfer.
Yeah, two more.
Three to four products will be transferred to different sites. So, if there is some delay because of unexpected reasons, etc., in the audit, what is the how do we see like the site transfer? Like, can you just explain that process?
Once the site transfer happens. Then, with the 6 months of stability for these products, we can file variation and introduce this alternate site as a site. The sites we have in mind are already registered or registerable in the various regulated markets that we are looking at. And within, it's, I think it's after 6 months of stability, studies and all those things, can, the filing application can be done. And after the filing application, it requires between 3 to 4 months for the variation to be accepted, and then we can start manufacturing in these sites and supply our, according to the agreement that has already been signed.
Okay, so worst case, you are saying that this year, the coming financial year, you will have some sales from the transfer site,
the last quarter. I mean, that's what
you think. And if the, and in case we get the
request you to come back to the queue. Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Pratna Pare from Altis Financial Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, EBITDA margins improved sequentially, but remain under pressure on a 9-month basis. When does management expect margin normalization?
I think the entry into Europe and the regulated market is one inflection point where you will see the margin improving over what we have been doing very fast on a quarter to quarter basis, because the proportionately the proportionate sales of these products in the regulated market territory is another one game. The margins and the business also going on will be an additional. So there are two effects. Addition to the existing business, and also addition of high margin products. So both these effects will be visible in our balance sheet. So, cost will more or less remain the same.
Okay, alright. Next question is depreciation expense has increased. This is primarily due to recent CapEx or capitalization of regulatory and facility upgrade investments.
During the process, we are completing the projects as well. That is then giving incremental to depreciation, because we have several projects. One by one, the projects have been completed and put to use. So that will transfer in the long run for the revenue generation part.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. In the interest of time, that will be the last question for the day. Now hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us on this call. And we appreciate the patience and the interest that the investors have shown, and we want to assure the investors present here that we'll continue to work towards resolving this hiccup. And of course, thank you for your patience and thank you for your understanding that this is just a hiccup in the long history and all the good efforts that this company has put in. We certainly are very positive about coming out of and resolving this hiccup, and we well on the way to delivering on the promises that the company has in the form of the products that it has made and the assets that it has had. So I think the strategy remains the same, and certainly we look forward to pleasant interaction during the coming quarter in the form of being able to give you better results and a good performance, better performance of the company on all fronts. So thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.